All right, welcome everyone. It's so good to see you again. Haven't we been having a wonderful time this weekend? Yes, I so thoroughly have enjoyed. I want to thank Mike and Diane for inviting me to come here, first of all. It's also been good to see Carol and Gary once again. We go back quite a few years, but it was so good to see them once again. I want to get right into the message this morning. I just want to say that I just enjoyed so much what Mike had to say and what Gary had to say. I've been pondering a lot on some of the things that Mike said, especially concerning we don't have to seek God. Why do we have to seek God when we're one with Him? And you know, there's a scripture in Matthew 6:33 that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added." And I've kind of coined the word, instead of added, unfolded from within us. But that word there where it says seek is really worship. So how do we worship Him? It's not so much as we sing or the traditional type of worship that we think of, but we worship Him by living from the inside out, by living by the Spirit, by having the consciousness, which we are, of God imbued in our individual consciousness. Then we're truly living by faith and we're truly living by the inside out rather than living by appearances. You know, Jesus said, "Judge not by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but judge righteous judgment." And you see, as we walk in the consciousness of God, then we can judge righteous judgment. Otherwise, we're just, you know, trying to do this in and of ourselves, and that just does not work. Now, when Jesus, let me just say it this way, when Jesus went to the cross, He said, "It is finished." And the little word "it" just simply means the baffling wind of self. The baffling wind of self, all of this that we thought we were under Adam, was totally gotten rid of, totally obliterated. There's not two men on the earth, there's only one man on the earth, and it is the Christ man. Now, a lot of people today teach that in some of the circles that I, you know, minister at, they teach that, well, we're not under the law. And I agree, we're not under the law. And to them, that means, well, we don't have to keep rules and regulations. We're not under an external Ten Commandments or that sort of a thing. And that's true. We aren't under those things. But I believe there's something more we need to understand rather than just we don't have to walk by a set of rules. We don't have to walk by the Ten Commandments. They say all of that, but they're still walking by law. And the reason why they're still walking by law, I believe, is because they still say they're human. They still say they're mortal. They still say they're finite. They still say they're corruptible. They still say they have to be affected by time and space. They still say that, you know, they're flesh and that they're, you know, they're just a material person. I want to declare to us this morning, we are more than just flesh and blood and guts and bones this morning. We are spirit slowed down to visibility. Hello. We came out of God. He is the I am-ness of our being. He is the infinity of our being. He is the immortality of our being this morning. He's the incorruptibility. We are totally and completely unlimited. And as we've been hearing this weekend from Mike and from Gary, it's as we live in the now that we can experience who we are. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about the earthly tent or the earthly tabernacle of our house. And it says that it's dissolved. It must be dissolved. And that word dissolved means to be loosed. So as we are being loosed in our awareness from thinking that we're just a house, you know, made by hands, we begin to be loosed by that and we begin to realize that we are not just an earthly house of this tabernacle made with hands, but we are a tabernacle not made with hands that is eternal in the heavens. And when we come to that awareness, then we can begin to experience. See, I believe that everything is true of us now in God, and I believe that we receive that by doing absolutely nothing. You know, Adam was placed originally in the finished work, but he was told to keep the garden. We've been placed in a finished work. We have all. He can't give us any more. You can't add any more to allness. Can't take anything from it. Can't add anything to it. And so therefore, we are in this place of allness this afternoon. And so what we need to realize is that as we walk in the consciousness of it, then we begin to experience it. It's one thing to have it all. We received it all without doing anything whatsoever. But now to experience it, we must keep the garden. And what does that mean to keep the garden? It means to simply put on the mind of Christ or walk in the conscious awareness of our oneness in Him. See, the thing that I believe really, really messes people up in religiosity is the fact that they have, as Mike was talking about, a consciousness of separation. A consciousness of separation, duality. They still partake. The very tree that God told man not to eat of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the whole world eats from, including the church world. We are to eat of the tree of life. In fact, we're one with the tree of life this morning. And so what we come to understand when we eat from the tree of life, who He is as us, the oneness that we have, we come to understand that we're not to live by good and evil. Now, I teach many times that there's three words that are associated with good and evil, and it's love, fear, and hate. We love a good appearance. We love the good appearances. And we hate and fear an evil appearance. And so therefore, what do? Well, we decree, we declare, we affirm, we resist, we deny, rather than resting in who we are in Christ Jesus, rather than resting in our oneness. Now, a lot of people use 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it talks about being absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, and to be at home in the bodies, to be absent from the Lord. They use that as the classic funeral scripture. Have you ever heard that preached at a funeral? But let me just say this morning. When you still are in duality, to be at home in the body means that you're judging by the seeing of the eye and the hearing of the ear. To be at home in the body. So therefore, you're not really experiencing the omnipresence of the Lord that you are. But when you're walking in this dimension of oneness, you're absent from the body. In other words, you're no longer judging by appearances. Here you judge by appearances at home in the body. Over here, being absent from the body, you no longer are judging by appearances. And so then you experience the presence, the omnipresence of the Lord that you really are. So you see, as we walk in His awareness, then we're not at home in the body. We're absent from the body because we're doing exactly like Jesus said and like Isaiah said, judge not by appearances. Do not judge by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but judge righteous judgment. Now, that's a real hard thing for a lot of people to walk in. In fact, you can't unless you're walking in the consciousness of oneness. Because you see, we want to judge everything by the way it looks, by the way it feels, by what medical science says about it, by what the world says about it, by what legalistic preachers say about it, rather than looking through. And Mike said this yesterday or the day before. He talked about we need to look through appearances. And we can do that. That doesn't mean that, you know, we condone any wrongdoing or anything, but neither do we condemn. We look through what we see in the appearance realm. We need to see every man in Christ. Every man in Christ. Now, I kind of teach it this way many times because I believe that Jesus, John chapter 12, He said, if I be lifted up, I'll drag, that's what the Greek word says, all men unto me, all things and all men unto me. I believe that all men are in Christ. Some are dead in Christ. They have not acknowledged their oneness. Some are asleep in Christ, in religiosity. But there are a people that are alive and remain unto the coming, you see, a greater expression and a greater experience of the Lord in their lives. So we need to look through what we see in the appearance realm. And as we do, I believe we're going to draw the eye of Christ as us is going to begin to draw all men. All men will be drawn in to this experience. You know, Romans chapter 8 says, one translation says that all creation is on tiptoe looking for the manifestation of the sons of God that they might be delivered into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Now, what that means to me is that there's a people that are looking for Christ that is expressed in, through, and as a people, and they're looking for fruit that remains. Hello. Rather than a healing, have you ever noticed that the healings that Jesus performed were corruptible? Because those that he healed got sick again. Those he raised from the dead turned around and died again, or died, maybe for the first time, perhaps. Well, it would have been the second time because he raised them the first time, but they turned around and died again. And so you see, the whole creation out here is looking for a people that have fruit that remains, meaning they're not one way one day and another way another day. Hello. They're looking for a people that know that their Father is the infinity of their being, that their Father is the immortality of their being, that their Father is the incorruptibility. They're looking for a people that are walking in the realization and the consciousness of one, and the fact that they are totally and completely unlimited. You know, many times I have taught in the past that concerning not being affected by time and space, I've taught that, you know, one day God's going to renew our youth. But you know, that's Old Testament. Abraham and Sarah had their youth renewed, and they were able to bring forth Isaac, the promised seed, birth what represents Christ. But I found out one day as I was meditating upon this that he already took me out of the aging one, and he put me in the ageless one. Hello. So we don't have to be affected by time and space. Hello. We are one in him, and we must walk in that awareness and that consciousness. He put us in a finished work. Again, we didn't do anything to be put in that finished work. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. He is all in all. We have the faith of the Son of God. We have the mind of Christ. We lack nothing. But now on the other side of the coin, it's another thing to experience that, to walk in that and experience that. And in order to experience that, we must walk in the awareness, the consciousness of our oneness in him. I used to teach for many, many years that, as it says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, to experience transformation, we must renew the mind. And one day I found something out about that. Do you know that when you read that where it says, be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that the words of and your are not there in the original? And so what it is the renewing mind. It's not renewing anything of this. There's nothing over here to renew. That's been done away with. But what it is what it really says is, we experience the transformation by the renewing mind. And what that is and what that translates out to be is simply putting on the mind of Christ. Now, let me say something about putting on the mind of Christ, because those two words, put and on, simply mean to slip into like you slip into a garment. To put on the mind of Christ, you just slip into like you slip into a garment. Now, let me say something about that, because that may not mean a whole lot to you until you hear this. When you put on your garment this morning, your clothes, they weren't in the bathroom and you were over in the bedroom. Hello. That'd be a little struggle, right? They were right there in your hand. And you just naturally slipped in to those clothes. What am I saying? I'm simply saying that putting on the mind of Christ is just natural to us. Yep. Putting on the mind of Christ is just a natural thing. That's our nature. That's who we are, to put on the mind of Christ. So what he's saying then in Romans 12:2 is, we'll experience this transformation by the renewing mind, since the words of and your are not there. And he's not trying to renew some old mindset. It's by the renewing mind, and the renewing mind is the mind of Christ. Paul called that mind of Christ the pure mind, the sound mind. And all we have to do is just slip into it. And it's in your hand. When you slip into your clothes, it's that simple. They're right there, you slip into them. You know, the scripture in Revelation chapter 1 says, the kingdom is at hand. That word hand means throttle. What? Throttle. T-H-R-O-T-T-L-E. In other words, let me say it this way, the throttle is in our hand. Meaning we can experience this as quickly as we desire, because it's all in the now. We don't have to wait to experience this. You know, so many people are waiting to experience, like Romans chapter 8 talks about the redemption of the body, and the church has taught, well, my spirit was saved and my soul is being saved and my body shall be saved. But listen, if we're in Christ, we have whole man redemption. Hello. And we can experience it right now. We can experience whole man redemption in the lovely here and now. We don't have to wait till after we die or the pie in the sky or some rapture takes place. We can experience it all in the lovely here and now because we have it all. See? So it's not my spirit was saved and my soul is being saved and then my body shall be saved. We have whole man redemption because we're in the complete one. We're in the whole one. In fact, we're one with that one. Hello. So you see, we put so much off into the future, and you know, tomorrow never comes. I like what Einstein says. There's no passing of time. It's not about past and our history and our future. It's about now. It's about eternality that we are one with. It's about now. So I say we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait to experience anything. Just as quickly as we can walk in that consciousness and that awareness of oneness, we can begin to walk in that and we can begin to experience that. Hello. Do I have any takers on that this morning?
Amen.
Amen, yes. Me. We have been taught so many squirrely things. We have been taught so many squirrely things. And it's no wonder that we haven't experienced more of our oneness than what we have. We have judged by the appearance. We haven't realized that the work is finished and everything is in us. We lack nothing. We are now. Hello. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now, I want to share with you this morning, this afternoon, half the time I don't know where I'm at, but anyhow, I want to share with you seven realizations of spirituality, seven realizations of spiritual existence. And I want to draw these things out of some scripture, and I'll just be quoting these scriptures. And the first one, seven realizations or seven meditations, however you want to say that, of our oneness. In order for us to walk in this consciousness of oneness, as we meditate upon these things, it'll just happen naturally. See, I think that we have been so bamboozled and hoodwinked by the fact that we can't have anything now when we already have it all now. We need to have an awareness of now. Not tomorrow, right now. And religion has so confused the issue. I don't believe anyone in the world has rejected the true God. They've rejected the one religion has portrayed. But now, see, there's a people now that not only are just declaring something, but are this. We're walking this. We're experiencing this. And this should happen just naturally in our lives. You know, our Father never meant for us to struggle with being spiritual or with the Christian life, whatever you want to call it. God never meant for us to fight and struggle. It's just supposed to be a natural walk. But most of our Christian life, we've been taught we got to, you know, bind and loose and fight and decree and declare and deny and resist and all of this stuff. And none of that has been the truth. Now, I know there's different levels, and when we were in that era of our lives, yes, things did happen, but here's the key. They did not last. Yeah, they were not right. Fruit that remained. They were not lasting. I've seen some prayers years and years ago answered where people were healed and that sort of a thing, but we need to come to the place, if we're going to experience fruit that remains, where we realize He is the health of my body. He is the immortality. And as we live from the inside out, then the experience of that is just naturally unfolded. Naturally. Have you ever seen a tree that's trying to produce fruit struggle and wipe its brow? Absolutely not. It just naturally produces the fruit. And you see, we, as we walk in this consciousness of oneness, we'll just naturally bear the fruit because, as Mike said, the trunk, the vine, and the branches are one, and the sap just naturally flows from the root system up through the trunk, out through the limbs, and the fruit is born on the branches just naturally. It's not a struggle, and it's not a fight. And the only way for it not to be a struggle and a fight for us is when we walk in this consciousness of oneness. Because everything will come out of the consciousness. Everything, as a man thinketh in his heart, our consciousness, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, our consciousness, man speaks. It's not by might, it's not by mental might, it's not by physical or material power, but it is by my consciousness, saith the Lord. Consciousness is what brings the experience of it. Consciousness is what brings the unfoldment of whatever it is that we have need of in our lives. But we need to understand that what comes forth, what is unfolded from us, is all spirit. It's spirit. See, and I think once we realize that and walk in the awareness of that, then what is unfolded from us will be here to stay. Not here today and gone tomorrow. We must understand that, you see, our supply, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Supply is not something that is visible. Supply is invisible. It's that which we have within us already. And then it becomes tangible. Just like us, we are spirit slowed down to visibility. Well, every one of our needs, as they are met, as they become visible, we already have them all. They are spirit. Supply is invisible. It's not visible. But as the unfolding takes place, it becomes tangible and it becomes visible. Now, let me start with these seven realizations or seven meditations. The first one is found in Matthew 23 and verse 9. It says there, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for you have one Father which is your heavenly Father." One Father. How many know we were sired after Him? We were the offspring of God. Can I say, and I'll go back and explain this, God never created anything. As we think of creation, the English idea and the Western idea of creation is that something is brought forth, and when it is brought forth into tangibility, it's something that never was before. But the Hebrew meaning of create means that something is cut down for a formative process. Now, what does that mean? What in the big round world does to cut down for a formative process mean? It means it's brought out of the dimension of spirit into tangibility, into visibility. So you see, the scripture tells us that we came out of God. That's why it says, call no man on earth your father. You have one heavenly Father. See, now I could take that a little bit further and I could say, we were really never born as we think of being born. Why? Because that when we came forth from our mother's womb, that wasn't our beginning. We always were. See, I tell people many times, when you took your first breath, that was not God giving you your first breath. That was not God giving you your life. When you took your first breath and you were birthed out of your mother's womb, that was not God giving you your life, it was God giving you His life. Hello, because we evolved out of Him, because we came out of Him. You know, Jesus said it this way. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Well, do you know what? You could say the same thing. Before Abraham was, I am. Abraham could have said, before Abraham was, I am. And so that's a realization of our oneness in Him. Call no man on earth your father. You have one Father, your heavenly Father, because you were sired after Him. You're the offspring of God. When you were physically born, that was not your beginning. You were in God from the foundation. You evolved out of Him. And so that constitutes our oneness. So if we can walk in that consciousness of oneness, then we can experience all that our Father desires for us to experience. Now, I could take you back to the book of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. Remember, God said to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's belly. I ordained you. I chose you. Well, the same is true with us. He knew us. He chose us from before the foundation. We came out from Him. And then in Romans chapter 8, it says, for whom He did foreknow, talking about all men, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the very image of His Son. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, according as He hath chosen Him, and that's talking about us, before the world began. So the first realization or the first meditation is to realize the moment we took our first breath, that was not our beginning. We evolved out of Him. We were cut down for a formative process. He brought us out of the dimension of spirit into tangibility, or we are, you could say, spirit slowed down to visibility. You know, Jesus said He was the Word made flesh. Well, so are you. Now, when the Word, you could change that word made flesh to spirit made flesh. And that doesn't mean that the spirit or the Word became fleshly. No, it stayed a spirit as it was, as it always was. But you see, we are Word made flesh. We may not fully be experiencing it because they're not fully walking in the consciousness of it, but we are the Word made flesh. We are spirit slowed down to visibility. Before Abraham was, I am. before Abraham was, so were you, because you were in God from before the foundation. There is only one life. Now, let me take that a little bit further and bring that into Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 3, where it talks about Melchizedek. Melchizedek speaks of Christ, and it says of Melchizedek, he had no mother nor father, nor beginning of days, nor ending of time. Right? Well, we can say the same thing about us, because we evolved out of God. We evolved out of our Father. And so when you think that you're going to have, or that you had a beginning of time, then naturally you're going to think that you're going to have an end of time. Now, I said that to say this. All of our roots were cut off. Your roots are no longer in your genetical, biological upbringing.
That's right.
Your roots are in Christ. Our roots are in Christ. Has nothing to do with our religious upbringing. Has nothing to do with our ancestry. Has nothing to do with our biological. Our genes has nothing to do. Someone says, you must have had a good gene pool because I only weigh about 8 pounds more than I did over 40 years ago. Well, my gene pool was Christ. Hello. I came out of Christ and you came out of Christ. You see, we evolved out of Him. We're spirit slowed down to visibility. So in a sense, we could say we were never born, but we evolved. We evolved out of spirit. We came out of Him. You know, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4 that there's only one spirit and only one body. It lists 8 different ones there. One body and one spirit. There's only one power. There's only one life. Now, when I say one power, a lot of people think, oh, yeah, only one power, you know, but I still have to get a greater power to overcome what I consider to be a lesser power. No, there's only one power, and that power is the power that's within us to evolve. To evolve in our consciousness, to evolve in our awareness, to have the unfoldment, and to experience Him in every area and every aspect of our life. So number one, call no man your father on earth. You have one Father, which is your Father in heaven. Number two, the second realization is this. In Psalm 24, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Every man, woman, child, boy, and girl, every person is in Him and belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, what I bring out on that is when we experience the unfoldment, let's say of a particular need within our life, we need to understand that that need, when it comes forth manifestly or tangibly, is spirit. We separate. See, there we separate. The unfoldment, let's say you have a financial need, and let's say that you're seeking Him. You're not seeking for money, but you're seeking Him. You're just seeking, not to find Him out here somewhere, but you're, seek means worship. It's one of the meanings. You're just seeking to know Him more intimately. You're not seeking to get money for the sake of money or healing for the sake of healing, but you're just seeking to know Him more intimately on the inside of you, in you, through you, and as you. And then when the tangibility comes forth of that particular need, be it money or healing, that is spirit. And we've separated, just like we've separated this universe. We say, well, this is a physical universe. Well, it appears physical. But can I tell you that this universe that appears physical is really a spiritual universe? Because it evolved out of God. It evolved out of the spiritual universe. But you see, we're always dividing. We always have this sense of duality. Now, nothing can separate us, but we can set up a sense of separation. And we're always setting up the sense of separation simply because we're not walking in the awareness, the consciousness of oneness. Remember Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6? He was going around and he was preaching, you know, probably a bunch of legalism and woe this, woe that, woe the other. And then the seraphim came and took a coal off of what represents the finished work, touched his lips. And the angels, the seraphim said, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of the glory of God. Now, I understand that we're earth too, our outer realm, but that's earth out there as well. And he said, the whole earth is full of the glory of God. So what we need to do is instead of complaining about our so-called corrupt government, the gas prices, the this and the that and the other, what we need to do is, as Brother Isaiah did, we need to begin to view the whole earth full of the glory of God. Amen. See, that's really the faith of the Son of God in operation. And as kings and priests in the earth, as a Melchizedek priesthood, I do not believe we're going to be able to affect creation in ministering this oneness that they have and are as well, unless we begin to see the whole earth full of the glory of God, unless we begin to see all men reconciled. They may not fully be experiencing salvation and reconciliation, but it's there. All men have been drawn into Him. So, realization number two, the whole earth is full of the glory of God, the world and they that dwell therein. You know, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says that He has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, if you take that word godliness and you break it down, God, of course, is God within us, as us, God within us. You take the next two little syllables, L-I, that means like or as. The last part of godliness, N-E-S-S, is a state of being. So what is true godliness? It is walking in the realization of the state of being as Him. Now, I'm not saying you're God. I'm just simply saying He has chosen to come, become one with us as infinity, as immortality, as incorruptibility, as the Word made flesh. And you see, if we can walk in that consciousness, and if we can walk in that awareness, then we're going to experience everything that we already have. Another scripture is Ephesians chapter 1. It says, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. We lack absolutely nothing. We live so beneath our privilege, but we really lack absolutely nothing this afternoon. We have it all. He is all in all of all y'all. There's no lack. There's no lack whatsoever. No lack. And so you see, true godliness is walking in the awareness and the consciousness of the fact that it's Christ as us. When you go through the scriptures and you see the little word and, many times it should not have been there. Because it's not God and us. It's not Christ and us. Not Christ and healing. It's not Christ and this or Christ and that. It's Christ as us. Yes. As He is, so are we, it says, in this world. So it's Him in us, through us, and as us. So when you see the little word and, sometimes you can read that in a duality. See? Because there's no separation. The same way with the word in, the little word in. Many times it says, you know, we're in Him or Christ in us. Even the little word in should be as. Because years ago I used to think, well, God, you're in me. Where are you? In my kidney, my liver, my gizzard, my this, my that. Where are you in there? See, and that kind of makes us think in dual terms. But He's in us, as us. We have this piano at the church that I pastor in Portland, and I use the example, it's a walnut piano, but I use the example, you wouldn't look at that piano, and you wouldn't say, that's a beautiful piano with walnut in it. Hello. No, you would just simply say, what a beautiful walnut piano. It's a walnut piano. And so you are the tangibility of Christ in the earth. So we have to quit separating. We need to have that awareness and that consciousness of oneness. So the whole earth is full of the glory of God, the earth and they that dwell therein. He possesses it all. And when we unfold, as I said, like health, God as our health, finances, whatever it is, we need to look at that as spirit, not just as something tangible. Because if we can look at it as spirit, then that is when it's going to be it's going to be fruit that remains. It's going to be something that's lasting in our life. And remember, that's what the whole creation is looking for, the manifestation of the sons of God. They're looking for people that have fruit that remains, and it's remaining naturally. It's not something that they've worked up or not some kind of a show. You know, they're not a hypocrite. Hypocrite means, you know, an actor on the stage of life. They're not an actor on the stage of life. They're the real deal. They're the real deal. And we're the real deal. He is the real deal in us and as us. So, number two, second meditation is, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the earth and they that dwell therein. Now, the third meditation is found in John 17, and this one goes like this. This is Jesus, the prayer of Jesus, His high priestly ministry prayer. He says, and now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. So you see, when we call no man on earth our Father, but only recognize our Heavenly Father, what are we doing? We're actually claiming and believing and knowing that the same glory that Jesus was glorified with, that he had when he was with the Father before he came to this physical earth, that same glory we have. Let me say it that way. Not only do we have it, we are the glory of God in the earth. We're the creation of God. We're the glory of God in the earth. Now, a scripture that we could use to go along with that is Philippians 2 and verse 13 that says it this way. Because you see, I don't want to just know that I am the glory of God personified. I want to walk in it. I want to experience it. All right? Yeah. Because everyone's looking for that. They're looking for people that don't just know about this, but a people that are really walking in it and experiencing it. So in Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now, when you look at those two words, good pleasure, and I'm going to give you a little Greek if you don't mind. The first word, good, is eu. It's a Greek word, eudoka. But good, in good pleasure, is eu. And then the rest of that word, pleasure, is doka. So what it's talking about, and if you look those words up, eu, as in good, is just simply good. But you see, doka, pleasure, is really an awareness. It's walking in the consciousness. So in other words, if we want to experience the glory of God and not just know that we are the glory of God, but really walk in it, then we have to what? We have to realize and walk in the consciousness of our Father, the consciousness of our oneness in God. You see, so many times we have been taught, and I certainly believe that, let me just say it this way. Once our individual consciousness is imbued with the consciousness of God that we are, then there's a formation that takes place there. And then it's projected out to the screen or experience of our life. Let me use a woman in the natural as an example. A woman physically receives the seed, the sperm of the man, into the womb. There's a conception, a gestation, and then a formation. 9 months later, the womb goes into labor, and it's projected out naturally into their experience, and they're never the same after they have that child. Right. And the same way with us. When we realize we are the consciousness of God, and that becomes our individual awareness, there's a formation that takes place in that womb. Peter said, "Gird up the loins of your mind." That's the womb. There's a formation that takes place in our individual consciousness. The masculine and the feminine, if I can say it that way, become one. There's a conception, gestation, formation, and then it's naturally projected out to the experience of our life. And that's what we want. We want to experience this oneness that we have and that we are in Him. Now, Paul the Apostle said it this way in Galatians. He said, "I travail again until Christ be formed in you." Well, wait a minute, Paul. Aren't you talking to people that already have Christ formed in them? Yes, he was. Well, what he was saying is, "I travail again until Christ be formed in your awareness, in your consciousness." Because Paul the Apostle knew that to be able to bear fruit that remains, there had to be a people that walk in the consciousness of God that they are, the two, the masculine principle of our being and the feminine principle of our being, which is our awareness, had to become experientially one, and then there would be something that would be formed in that consciousness and would be projected out to the screen of our life, and we would experience Him in a way that we've never experienced Him before. That's the gospel, folks. That's the good news of the gospel. We lack nothing this morning, this afternoon, whatsoever. We lack absolutely nothing. I mean, how could there, you know, and nothing can be added to us. I think Mike said this yesterday. Yep. Nothing can be added to us, and nothing can be taken away from us. Wow. You know, in Revelation chapter 20, how could you take away from all? Huh? How could you add to all? And in Revelation, the last chapter, it talks about if you add to this word or take away from this word, you get the plagues. Well, let me just explain that a little bit more. I got fresh revelation on that just this weekend. If we try to add to who He is as us or take away, we drop down to the plague realm. We drop down to the human man realm. See?
Playground?
Well, the playground.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a playground.
It's a playground too. It's a playground, but we drop down into. See, Job said it this way. He said, "Man is born into trouble." He's talking about the human. As the sparks fly upward, man is born into trouble. See, that's trouble. You drop down in that aware. Yeah, that's nothing but trouble. That's hell in high water. Hello? That's a whole lot of hell. You know, Revelation really talks in Revelation 16 about the vials and the seven last plagues, but it says they're wonderful and they're great. What are the seven vials in Revelation chapter 16? They're just an understanding of our oneness, different aspects of the understanding of our oneness. Then it talks about the books are going to be open, and then the book of life is open. That's us. We're being opened up. No longer like the Shulamite, a fountain sealed, a spring shut up, and a garden enclosed. We're beginning to open up as we walk in this consciousness, as we walk in this awareness. And then it says the other books are open. That's the people's lives. Have you ever had people come up to you and just pour out their life to you, and you had no clue why? That's because the book of life, you see. Don't take much, was opened up, you see. See, we're one with the book of life. See, we're one. And we need to walk in that awareness. Number four, the fourth realization is found in 1 John 4, which says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them," the false concepts, "because greater is he that is in you," I'm going to add, "as you, than he that is in the world." So what I want to look at here is, at the beginning of that, it says, "Ye are of God." Now that little word "of" is ek, and it means you evolved out of him. Of him. See, of him. You're of him this afternoon. He's not just somewhere in you in some compartment somewhere. He's in you as you. You evolved out of him. You were cut down for a formative process. That's what create means. You were brought out of the dimension of spirit and brought to tangibility on this earth. So what he says here is you came out of him, and you have overcome all of these false concepts of duality, because greater is he that you are one with and as than he that is in the world. Meaning he that is in the world, all of the concepts, all of the religious ideas, all of the eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all of that. Greater is he that's in you than all of that. And that's Christ in you, as you. So ye are of God. Ye are of God. You came out of him. Fifth realization is found in 1 Corinthians 6:17. And this is one of my favorite ones. Hello, police. He's looking for Elaine, the police out there. 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says there, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Come here, come back. Come on back. You people, everyone's looking at the police. Come back. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now, listen, since we are the body of Christ, not only are we one in him in our spirit, but in our whole being. See, the Bible says we're the body of Christ. We're bone of his bone, we're flesh of his flesh. And I say this a lot of times, it kind of freaks people out. But what I say is, I am just as spirit in my body as I am in my spirit. Because God sees the end from the beginning. He sees us as one. Hello. We're just as spirit in our body as we are in our spirit. Because we're one. Spirit, soul, and body.
Could you say that again?
I'm just as spirit in my body as I am in my spirit. Because I'm the body of Christ. I'm bone of his bone. I'm flesh of his flesh. And there's only one body, Ephesians 4 says. See, because what is our body? It is spirit slowed down to tangibility, to visibility. So we need to start seeing our whole being. See, what we do is we separate. This is body, this is soul, this is spirit. There we are in our duality again, rather than seeing as God sees the end from the beginning. See, he sees the end from the beginning. He sees the outer realm just as one as the inner realm. See, and once we begin to walk in that oneness, that my body is just a spirit as my spirit is, I'm just a spirit in my body. See, here's what physics says. Physics says that matter is energy. Well, isn't this matter? Hello?
Yeah, yeah.
And the Bible says energy, spirit. I had a lady pass away in my church a year or so ago, And they cremated her body, and I asked the funeral director, I said, how long does it take to cremate a body? He said, depending on how large they are. It'll take a little longer for you. Depending on how large they are. I mean, it can take hours, 8, 10, 12 hours to cremate a body. And he said, the reason why is because muscle is energy. Muscle is energy. Well, the Bible says power of the Spirit, energy of the Spirit. Right? So that's the basis of, if my body is energy, and there's only one body, and if I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, if I'm one in him, spirit, soul, and body, I'm no longer dividing my being up, then I'm just a spirit in my body as I am in my spirit. Remember, we came out of God, spirit, soul, and body. We are the Word made flesh, spirit made tangible.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Now, I had a little incident that happened to me a couple weeks ago, and I say this to the glory of God, not trying to boast or anything, but I, well, maybe a little bit, but anyhow. I go to the Y and I walk, you know, try to get there every day, walk a few mile a day. And I decided I was going to time myself on a 1 mile walk, and I walk pretty rapidly. And I made 1 mile in 18 minutes. And I don't know whether that's good or I don't know what that is. If that's, you know, I don't know where that stands with people that walk. But here's the thing. I realized that the clock stopped for me where walking was concerned, because 15 years ago I was walking an 18-minute mile. Hello. So what am I saying? If that can take place, if I can experience that in that area, why not every dimension? Why do we have to be affected by time and space? Hello, we're spirit. Quit dividing. I'm talking to myself as much as you. Let's quit dividing. We don't have to be affected by time and space. Don't have to. The reason we are is because we judge by appearances. We judge by appearances. You know, Paul said, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know what? In that particular verse, he called evil just an appearance. Just an appearance. Just an appearance. It's just an appearance. It has no power. There's no law perpetuating sin, sickness, and death. There's no natural law perpetuating it. And when we walk in the consciousness over here of our oneness in Christ, divine law begins to perpetuate us. But when we walk over here in the consciousness of duality and we experience, you know, all of these things that the world experiences, we need to realize there's really no law perpetuating those things. Because there's only one real power. There's only one real presence. There's only one real mind. Now, let me say something about the one mind. We have the mind of Christ. Sometimes it appears that we have a carnal mind. Can I tell you this morning, afternoon, whenever? You do not have a carnal mind. It appears like it. So you're judging by appearances if you say you have a carnal mind. You have the mind of Christ. Paul said we have the mind of Christ. And there's only one, so we need to walk in the oneness where the mind is concerned and realize it doesn't matter if I act like I have a carnal mind, if I act like a schnook or act like I'm living out of some carnal mind. I really don't have a carnal mind. I can have a carnal awareness and I can judge things by the appearance, but we need to center up on the fact there's only one mind, and it's the mind of Christ. But see, that's an area that we're very dual in again. We think that, you know, well, you know, I got this carnal mind and I have the mind of Christ and, you know, I have the nature of God, but yet I have a little bit of Adam's nature yet. Absolutely no.
Right.
You're not half-baked this morning. You're not half-baked. If we're in Christ, we have whole man redemption. And there's no difference between spirit, soul, and body in God. There's no difference whatsoever. So the fourth one was, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome the false concepts, because greater is he that's in you. You know, Jesus said we're in the world, but not of it. I'll tell you how we can be of it, is by having an awareness of duality. Having an awareness of duality makes us of the world, but we're not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it.
Right.
Now, the fifth one I already spoke of, 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Is one spirit. Did you ever wonder why that for example, people in Jesus' day, like there was a man that was at the pool of Bethesda for 38 long years. Why so long? And then there was a woman that was bowed over and could no wise straighten herself up for 18 years. Why? Because they were looking outside of themselves for someone to come and heal them, rather than looking within and having the consciousness of God as their health and walking out of the revelation of oneness, the consciousness of oneness. And then you have the little woman that had the issue of blood, and she says within herself, she has an awareness. She says within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. And you know what? When she experienced the health that she already was, when she experienced that, Jesus didn't even know about it. It was later that he turned and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Oh, how can you say that? You've got throngs of people touching you and around you." So you see, the difference was she said within herself. I believe she had at least a measure of a conscious awareness of oneness at that point in time. So it's realizing that he is in us, as us. He is the infinity of our being, the immortality of our body, the eternality of our spirit this morning. He is that in us. The next one, got two more to go. Let me back up here. I think I missed one. I'm at number six? All right, number six. Yes, this is my favorite one. In John chapter 8 and verse 7, how many remember the story when these religious men come up and they had found this woman caught in the very act of adultery? Now this is a little bit hard to receive, but I know you'll hear it because you have an ear to hear and an eye to see. We all do. These men brought this woman that was caught in the very act of adultery and flung her at Jesus' feet and said, "You know, what do you say about this?" And they had their rocks ready to stone her. And what does he do? He turns and he says this, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone." Is that not what he said? Remember that story?
Oh, yeah.
But now listen to this, because I don't hear that in the fact that Jesus said, "Well, you guys have a lot of sin in your life. Who are you to throw a stone at her?" No, that's not the way I hear that. The way I hear that is Jesus said, "You who are without sin. You don't have sin. You've been forgiven. You're acting like a legalist, trying to condemn and judge by the appearance realm. But you who are without sin." In other words, you guys are without sin. And what did they do when they realized they were without sin? They dropped their rocks. Because you see, when you have the consciousness of oneness in forgiveness, you realize that all men are forgiven.
Yes.
Hello. And you're no longer judging by the seeing of the eye and the hearing of the ear, but you're judging righteous judgment. So you who are without sin, and the whole world is without sin, let's quit casting stones. Hello. Or rocks, which is the law, putting law on people, legalism, judging them by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I love that one. Now, the last one, number seven, is found in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And this was the Apostle Paul. Remember when the Apostle Paul, and I hear this a little bit differently too. Remember when the Apostle Paul had the thorn in the flesh? And he went to God and asked God to remove it three times. Remember that story? He had a thorn in the flesh. He goes to God and asks God, "God, will you heal me?" Same thing. "God, will you bless me? God, will you do this?" There's no God out here doing anything for us.
That's right.
That's false image. That's false concepts. He's already done all he's going to do. After creation, he sat and he rested. After Jesus finished the work, he's seated at the right of the Father, and we are as well. And his work is done. See, God is the law of our being, and nothing's going to get done except it's done in, through, and as a people. God is the law of our being. See, he told Adam, let me take a little rabbit trail here. He told Adam in the garden, he said, "Now, you subdue and you replenish and so forth, and you have dominion." He didn't say get it.
Wow.
See, to get it or take it infers decreeing and declaring and binding and loosing and resisting and denying and all of that. No, he said you have it. Just have it. Just have it. Just have it. See, I'm convinced today that there's a people that are walking in this oneness and consciousness that silence is more powerful than speaking, unless you've heard the still small voice and then you speak the word that you hear. Jesus never spoke anything but what he heard the Father say. And I can remember in ministry years ago, people would come up and, oh, we got to get healed. We need money. We need this. We need that. And I'd put jumper cables on them, you know, lay my hands on them. And I would start quoting every scripture verse I could think of on healing or finances. And one day the Lord said, won't you just put the shut to the up? Well, he didn't say it quite that way, but sort of. I've been watching too many Medea movies. But put the shut to the up and listen for the still small voice. Because there's more power and experience in silence than there is in speaking empty words from our memory bank. See, and we have really, in the church, we have really missed it there. So now I'm not so quick to do that. I just go within myself and just get silent. And sometimes I don't speak a word, and things begin to transpire in my life and in people's lives. It just happens that way. We've got to learn to be still and know that He, consciousness, is God. It's not by might, mental might, or physical or material power, but it is by my spirit or my consciousness, saith the Lord. I like that scripture that Mike brought out the other day. I'd been quoting that for a little while myself. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without living from the invisible dimension where He is as us, it is impossible for us to be ever fulfilled or satisfied. Absolutely. God is the law of our being. It's going to come from within, from the invisible to the tangible. And we listen, people are out here all the time, churches I rub elbows with, and God bless their heart, all the time. What we need is a manifestation. What we need is a manifestation. No, you need to know you are the manifestation. And when we know we are the manifestation, we won't be seeking for all this stuff. We'll be just seeking to know Him, to worship Him in our conscious awareness of oneness. Yeah, the scripture says, know thyself. And it says, we're to know God aright. Now, when we know Him aright, then we know ourselves aright. Because you can't see, God is indivisible. Nothing can be separated. We can set up a sense of separation, but you can never do anything or say anything or act in any way to separate yourself from the Father. We're one. He's indivisible. But we can set up a sense of separation, and it may seem like it and feel like it. So this one on Paul the apostle going to the Lord three times to ask for his thorn, in other words, like saying, God, will you heal me? And listen to what he says. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, Paul. You know what I hear in that? Paul, you do it. Hello. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. I'm the law of your being. You walk in the consciousness of oneness and allow that to be swallowed up. And then he goes on to say, he says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I looked up that word weakness and it astounded me. Well, not really, because it does stand to reason. That's what it means. I looked it up, and that weakness means mental weakness. So right away I'm thinking, it's not by might. It's not by mental might. It's not by physical material power, but it is by my consciousness, saith the Lord. So what I hear in that is God was telling Paul, when Paul was saying, will you remove this thorn? I hear him saying, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. You have the mind of Christ. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. You've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. I am all in all in you, Paul. So you walk in the consciousness of oneness and experience then that being swallowed up.
Beautiful.
So, seven realizations. Seven different meditations that we can meditate upon. The first one, call no man on earth your father. You have one father. Because you evolved out of Him. When you were physically brought forth, He didn't give you your life. He gave you His life.
Amen.
Can't separate. You evolved out of Him. Second one, number two, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All supply and form is spirit slowed down to visibility. And I believe once we really get connected with that and walk in the awareness of that, it's going to be fruit that remains. It's going to be perpetual fruit. And it's going to be natural.
Wow.
And one of the things that makes it long-lasting and fruit that remains is that it is natural, and we're not asking for it, fighting for it, begging for it. But we realize our oneness in Him. Number three, glorify Thou me with Thine own self for the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. The same glory that He had, we have. We're the glory of God in the earth. And in order to experience that, not just know about it, but experience it, we found out from Philippians chapter 2 that we must walk in the awareness of, the consciousness of the fact that we have that same glory. As He is, so are we in this world. Number four, greater is He that's in you as you. Greater is He that's in you as you than he or the religious false concepts praying to God to do this, that, or the other. Greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. All those concepts and religiosity. Number five, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I realize that and I rest in my oneness. I rest in my oneness. I just simply rest in what is already on the inside of me. Now, I don't believe rest is passivity. I don't think rest is passivity. I believe rest is we're continually aware. See, prayer, so many people are confused about prayer. To me, prayer is not even talking.
That's right.
Prayer is just being still. Because how can He talk in you when you're doing all the yakking? So prayer is listening. Prayer is seeing the end from the beginning. Prayer is seeing the whole earth full of the glory of God. Prayer is just knowing, seeing how God sees, seeing the way that God within us sees, seeing through His eye. Seeing through His eye. And then number six, he that is without sin among you cast the first stone. When we realize our oneness and forgiveness, then we see that all men are forgiven. And we drop our legalism, we drop our judging by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear. And number seven, in the situation with Paul the Apostle, when he wanted God to do something, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. You have it all within you. You lack nothing, absolutely nothing." I mean, Paul the Apostle had gotten some real revelation about the finished work of Calvary, about Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. I mean, that man had a lot, but yet he was still asking God. So evidently there were some he hadn't gotten yet concerning walking in this awareness. So walk in the awareness of oneness. You're not. In closing, let me say this. I usually have to have two or three closings, so I may talk for another 10 minutes. But listen, you are not Adam. And you know what? You never were, really. Hello. You never were, really. You thought you were. You're not finite. You're not human. Let me just say something about human. God never made humans. He said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Adam was the one that hewed down man. When he partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he caused us to be hewed down man. And ever since then, we thought we were human and just mortal. But yet we're one body. We're spirit slowed down to visibility. We're not corruptible. We're not limited. Don't have to be affected by time and space. None of that is a part of us. We can walk by grace, by realizing He is, I am. He is and I am. He is and you is. So we need to learn to live out of the isness of God. He is everything within me. Even everything I have need of. I really have no needs because He is the all in all. He is the infinity of my being, the spiritual man. He's the immortality. He's the incorruptibility. And I can experience, listen, all of this I can experience now. Now. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. When it comes, it's now. When tomorrow comes, it's today. Now is accepted time. And all we have to do, if you want to call it doing, and I don't call it any doing, it's not works, because you know what? That's our nature. It's our nature to meditate upon Him. It's just our nature. So it's not a work. It's just something we do, as God told Adam when He put him in a finished work, "Now you keep the garden." He didn't do too good of a job keeping the garden. All he would have had to do was walk in that awareness, keep that consciousness up, you see. So we've been placed in a finished work, and we can experience it all now. Sometimes I say, "Abram, how far can you see?" However far you can see spiritually, that you can experience now. But we put it off into the future, We've been someday-ing for 2,000 years. Someday, in the sweet by and by, the pie in the sky, or after the rapture of the church, or when I die. No, right now. If it's not now, when? Huh? If it's not us, who? There's a song like that, absolutely. Right now, we can experience it all. So thank God we're one in Him. Amen. Thank God it's not Christ and us, it's Him as. It's not Father and health, it's Him as. He is the health of my body. See, when we live out of the asness, as He is, so are we in this world. As we live out of the isness and the nowness, faith is everything within me right now. And all it takes is walking in that consciousness and that awareness, and we'll experience it. You know, it's so easy we haven't seen the forest for the trees. Religion has confused it. Religion has confused it. But thank God there's a people now that are waking up. And that's what it is. It's an awakening process. We're waking up. We're no longer mesmerized by the dream of Adam. We're waking up to realize that all of those things in the realm of appearance, they really aren't real anyhow.
That's right.
You know? And what we do with them is we set up an illusion, because what is an illusion? Illusion means, from the Anointed Webster's Dictionary, it means to look at something in such a way as to misinterpret its true nature.
Uh-oh.
And we're always looking at something in such a way as to misinterpret its true nature, giving it a power, giving it a presence when it really has none. It's been a joy. It's been a joy to be here this weekend. Been a joy to share the word. You know, this is what I say many times when I go minister. I'm simply ministering Christ to Christ.
Yep. There you go.
Ministering Christ to Christ. See, if this is just coming out of my intellect because something I heard or something I read, it's coming out of my consciousness so it can connect with yours.
Yeah.
See? And these are truths. I think I was telling Diane this morning, these are truths that can't be taught. They have to be caught.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you hear that? Can't just teach these. They have to be caught by the Spirit within. All right. Love you guys. Thank you again, Mike and Diane, for your hospitality and love.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
We want more.